Today on Real Radio.
The word usage in all the Gospels that record this, it is a very, very, very slow, gradual departure. When it says that he's parted from them, he slowly begins to lift off the ground in front of them. Excuse me, but that's awesome.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament account. We're in the final chapter of this historical narrative, chapter 24. The last five verses include a promise made by Messiah himself, his bodily exit from our planet, and what his disciples did immediately thereafter. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Saving the Best for Last.
What an amazing, you can't put a book away without memories. Thinking about where we were 4 years ago and what God has done, how the church has grown, how our faith has grown. And we're going to hear a little bit about that this morning as we put this chapter to rest and this book to rest. We're looking at a message entitled this morning, Saving the Best for Last. Saving the Best for Last. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 49. Follow along with me. The letter there is written in red. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued or empowered with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Verse 51. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And there the scripture says, Amen. Amen is Hebrew for let it be true or it is true. It's time now for Jesus to say goodbye to his disciples. I don't know how you say goodbye. We did a message quite a while back here in Luke's gospel about farewells, but have you noticed in Christianity that our goodbyes are not quite exactly goodbyes? We say things to one another like, I'll see you later, or see ya. Anything but a formal farewell, because as Christians, you and I share a privilege together, guaranteed by God, that no matter what happens in life, maybe you have been separated from a loved one who loved Jesus, but death has visited your home, or some other peril has come and you guys are no longer together. Maybe it's a job, or maybe it's some sort of relocation of some sorts. As a believer, we need to always be careful to say things like, I'll see you later. Even when we are hovered over a deathbed and we're kissing or saying goodbye or hugging someone that we love, it's only in Christianity that you can say, I'll see you later. It's not goodbye. So in a real sense, Jesus is saying, I'll see you later, because the Bible makes it clear that he will be back. As we look to this portion of Scripture, there's a wonderful event that's revealed to us, a comforting doctrine of the Bible, that is, and that is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking about him this morning, how important it is that Luke's gospel ends with a focus on the Holy Spirit, about his deity, his person, his works, his power, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Saving the best for last, church, number one, jot it down, means this. We look at verse 50. Jesus leaves us with a blessing. He leaves us with a blessing. Number one, it says here in verse 50, and he, that's obviously Jesus, led them out. By the way, that word, the verbiage used, is like a shepherd leading his flock. And he takes them to the little village of Bethany. That was one of his favorite little towns, by the way. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. First thing we want to see right here is that Jesus blesses us with a reminder. This is key. No doubt it meant a lot to the disciples then. You might say, Jack, I'm sure, come on. They got to see him. They got to talk with him. And they'll see him ascend into heaven. That's true. But listen, Don't think for one moment that just because you and I are 2,000 years removed that we're missing out on something. By no means. He takes them to the little village of Bethany. Bethany's about 1.5 miles east of Jerusalem today. It was then, it is today. Bethany features a home of some of Jesus' best friends. Martha, Mary, Lazarus lived in Bethany. Jesus stayed while in Jerusalem in Bethany more than any other village down in the southern regions of Israel. Bethany, beautiful little place. It's there, as I said, today. But listen to this. This isn't the last time that you're going to technically hear about Bethany. It has a very strategic place in the future. Jesus ought to be saying, and I think he is saying, I'll see you later, because the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives is where Bethany is situated. Keep that in your mind. Those of you who know your Bibles well, when Jesus comes in the second coming, the Bible says he's going to come from the area of Basra in the second coming. By the way, that's the area of Kuwait today and southern Iraq. The Bible says that as lightning flashes out of the what? The east unto the west, so also shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. That is very, very key language. When Jesus comes in the second coming, he will come out of the east. He will come from that region of Basra. He will come from the eastern section westward towards Jerusalem. And the Bible says that his feet will touch on the Mount of Olives, and the scripture makes it clear that the earth will open up at that point. In fact, jot it down. It's Zechariah chapter 14. Bethany will see Christ again. Zechariah 14 verse 3 says, then the Lord, that's Yahweh by the way, the name of God, will go out and fight against those nations, that is the nations of the second coming that have surrounded Jerusalem, as he fights in the day of battle. Verse 4, in that day, that's the second coming, his feet will stand on the, what? Mount of Olives, what's it say? East of Jerusalem. I could go home right now. I love the Bible. This is written nearly 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And the Mount of Olives will split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moved northward and half of it moved southward. That's in the great second coming of Christ. Listen, he blesses us with a reminder that he's coming back. The disciples who knew the Old Testament, when he took them out to Bethany in here in Luke's chapter 24. He's going to be leaving them, but they knew they were Jewish. They knew the Bible. They knew that the Messiah would someday return to the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives. He leaves them with an awesome reminder. Church, throughout the Bible, you can't read the Bible without God reminding you, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Watch for me. Look for me. Be alert. Be attentive. Read the signs of the times. You guys, earthquakes have gone berserk in the earth. Are there not wars and rumors of wars? And volcanoes that are going off, and the volcano damage from the economy, global economy. In 1 week, this last week, the economic damage from one volcano has affected the world more economically than 9/11. A volcano. See, what are you so excited about? Jesus says, when you see these things begin to happen, get ready. Be looking around. Say, there's a volcano. Wow, there's another earthquake. Oh, man, there's another war or rumor of war. Yep, my Jesus said to get ready. Be ready. Also this, he blesses us with a promise. Look at the middle section of verse 50. And he lifted up his hands. Church, he's getting ready to leave. And Jesus lifts up his hands towards heaven. This is an awesome moment. It will become more awesome as we get through this study because he's acting out his priestly actions. Jesus, in the Hebrew mindset, he's got his flock around him. He's there in Bethany. By the way, Bethany means the house of figs. He lifts up his hands to heaven and he's going to pronounce a Hebrew blessing upon his followers. He's acting out his rightful place as the great high priest. Jesus leaves us with a blessing. Hebrews 7, verse 24 says, but he, Christ, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, amen, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, Jesus Christ. Romans 8:34 says this, who is he who condemns? Think about it. Who condemns you? Have you ever known anybody who's pointed their finger at you and condemned you? Okay, that's kind of where I live. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, that's the priestly position of Christ, who makes intercession for us, means Jesus talks to the Father for you, in favor of you. Verse 35, Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The answer demands a no. Nobody. Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecutions? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? Peril? Sword? No. Church, what you and I can experience in this life physically cannot. Listen to me. Cannot. It is impossible for what happens in this world against you to separate you from the love of God. Can't happen. That's why the Bible says no weapon formed. Am I yelling? I'm so excited. That's why the Bible says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against you can prosper because Jesus Christ, your high priest right now at this moment, is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he's talking to your heavenly dad saying, hey, Susie, she's cool. Mike, he's right on. Insert your name in there if you're a Christian. He blesses us with a promise. He lifts up his hands, the priestly act, to issue a promise. Watch, it begins to crescendo. Jesus leaves us with a blessing. The latter end of verse 50 says, and he blesses us with encouragement. That's what that's all about. You see where the word there, bless them, that he blessed them? Listen to this. I got to tell you, this is over the top for me. Words matter to God. Wasn't that a big talk in the campaign? Words matter. One guy running for office says words don't matter. The other guy says no, words do matter. And there's a big debate that week in the campaign about do words matter. I don't care what anybody says. God says words matter. And you need to hear this. I need to be reminded of this. The truth is that words matter to you and I as well. They're powerful. It is pretty amazing to realize, and you don't quite realize it enough until you're a parent, and then maybe when your kids have grown up and taken off like ours, that you realize how powerful words can be. You and I know that words can be powerful spoken for evil or spoken for good, don't we? Did you know? I think you know. If you're a young parent in here, listen carefully. The way you speak to your child, you will create their life. You will form their mind in the way that they think about situations. They will become an extension and, as it were, a crop, a field of what you've sown. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. Romans 14, 11 says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Words matter. Every human tongue that has ever been created will give praise and honor to the Lord someday. Words matter. Jesus blesses. Listen, he is saying, I'll see you later. And it's important to him that he blesses him. Listen, church, his hands are upraised and he pronounces a blessing. When it says he blessed them, this is remarkable to me. The word, are you ready for this? The word is eulogy in Greek. You ever heard that word before? What do you do when you go to a funeral and someone gives the eulogy? This is the meaning of the word. It means to speak well of them. It means to pronounce a blessing upon them. It means to praise them, to encourage them. Is that radical? Jesus is saying, I'll see you guys later. And when it says that he pronounces a blessing upon them, he is literally telling them words that lift them up, words that praise them, words that encourage them. Listen, eulogy, the word means to thank someone. Jesus is saying, you know what? I want to thank you guys. Gosh, can you believe he's doing this to a bunch of bumbling nuts? You guys, he thanks them. He's leaving them in a moment's time, and he's thanking them. Come on. We would have said, oh, no, you know, I wish you guys could have hung in there better with me. You know, how come you guys couldn't pray longer? Remember when I was casting those demons out? You guys should have been more appreciative. I don't know why Peter, you always do this. You always open your mouth and stick your foot in it every time. You always say the wrong thing. I'm glad I'm getting out of here. He didn't do any of that, you guys. Jesus looks at his disciples, and the word is he eulogizes them. He announces to them a blessing, and this is why we use it in funerals. It is to speak well, to encourage, to thank them in the anticipation that their life is about to change. As a Christian, we don't do funerals. As a pastor, I don't do funerals. I do graduation ceremonies. Amen. I do celebrations. Or Brother Mike's not here. Well, thank God he's not here. You know where he's at? He's with the Lord right now. This last Wednesday, Lisa and I, Rebecca, Pastor Chuck and his wife Kay Smith, Richard, a few other people, we were called to a hospital room of a dear sister of ours that we've known for years that was getting ready to go see Jesus. And we were in her room there. It was awesome because she's on the 10th floor at Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach, and the waves were huge. You could see the waves from her room. The waves were crashing on the shore, and we're standing there, and she's getting ready. She is ready for eternity. We're gathered around. We're singing hymns, singing songs. And she had very little morphine. She was very, very alert, and we're holding her hand. We're telling her, Terry, we love you. And I had to kiss her on the head, and I said, Terry, you're about to enter into your glory, girl. And I want to thank you personally for strengthening my walk with Jesus. Your faith, unwavering, you never complained about fighting cancer for 26 years, 7 different types of cancers. You've never complained. You always pointed me to Jesus. Every time I called you to see how you were doing, you said, I'm praying for you, Jack. And I told her, Terry, thank you. Everybody got around, said hi, said goodbye, said I'll see you later, said thank you. And what do you think? The first moment she breathed her last in that bed and opened her eyes before the Lord, the Bible says, be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. What do you think he said? I already know what he said. He blessed her. He praises them. He thanks them. The disciples. You guys did great. Can you imagine what he said? You guys did great. You were amazing. You guys, listen, I was blessed by you guys. What a remarkable Jesus we have. John 17, verse 3 says, this is eternal life. Jesus is speaking. And he says this about them in his great prayer to his Father, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent, and have glorified you on earth, and I have finished the work which you've given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. Isn't that tender? Wow. And they have kept your word. Really? They did? You see, that's how God sees us. And they have known that all things that I've given me are from you. Really, they knew that too. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them. And I have known surely that they have known surely that I've come from forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. Verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. Think of you right now. Think of us. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, Judas, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one, or Satan. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. That means set them apart. Set us apart by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, listen to this, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. That's his priestly declaration. And they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone. Watch this. It goes on to say, but also for those who will believe in them through their word. That's every one of us today. Right here, right now, you believing in Christ came forth from what Jesus prayed that day to his Father. Point number two, saving the best for last. Look at verses 51 to 53. Jesus leaves us with a vision, and it's a vision that is secure. Verse 51 says, now it came to pass while he blessed them. So while he's blessing them, this is awesome. While he's telling them, thank you, he was parted from them, divided from them, and carried up into heaven. By the way, in all the gospels that record this, you guys, this is amazing. You know how he's going to come, the Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye? That's 18 thousandths of a second when he comes. Like a twinkling of an eye. Well, when he leaves, it's altogether different. This, the word usage in all the Gospels that record this, it is a very, very, very slow, gradual departure. When it says that he's parted from them, he slowly begins to lift off the ground in front of them. Excuse me, but that's awesome. Remember how in the last few weeks he's been appearing and disappearing? Not now. Man, I pray I can do this justice. As he is blessing them, he is ascending upward.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Saving the Best for Last. It's a look at the last verses of Luke's final chapter, chapter 24, part of our teacher's verse-by-verse examination of this fascinating eyewitness account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, because we're completing our journey this week through this fascinating scriptural narrative, a reminder that we're making it available on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. Now remember, that's 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack covering every verse. It's a great way to learn through eyewitness accounts how the Messianic era began and about the earthly ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. Again, that's the entire series through Luke on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. More than one way to order yours, starting with paying a quick and easy visit to realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org, and just click the banner that says simply The Gospel of Luke. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.